Welcome to another message from Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information on Bridge, go to our website at bridgehelena.com. It is our prayer that this message will help you to connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God.
Amen. How many of you guys in here know that Jesus can change your life? That Jesus is in the business of changing lives. He is, isn't he? He totally is. And we got to be careful that we don't just keep that to ourselves, right? We know it because it's happened to us. And we've got this treasure, this promise, this hope for eternity, for life. And sometimes we tend to keep that to ourselves if we're not careful. We can step into some disobedience right there, right? And so we get excited when we sing a song about let me tell you about my Jesus. But how many of us take that excitement that we just had and take it out into the streets? We're going to talk about that today, so it's going to be fun. Heavenly Father, Lord, we adore you. We exalt you. We lift you up. Lord, what can we say about you? What can we say about your greatness? Lord God, there's no words in this English language that can do you justice. But Lord God, when we speak with our heart, with humility and boldness, Lord God, that's what you crave. In spirit and in truth, we worship you. So Lord God, though our actions and our words may seem to fall short, Lord God, I believe they please your heart. So Lord God, again, as we gather together as your church, we exalt you, we lift you high. Lord God, we desire connection with you. We desire to be a part of your church. Jesus, we ask that you speak in our lives in ways that we can hear and understand and apply and exercise. Because Lord God, that's what this is all about. Lord, when we come to you, everything changes. All our hopes and desires focus upon you. So Lord God, we stand here today. We stand in here today in awe of your awesome, amazing Lord. You're the best, and we desire more of you. So Lord God, today touch our hearts as we focus on you. Lord God, we know that as we focus on you, you always direct our gaze to those that are without you. So Lord God, let that lay heavy upon our heart. We pray for this coming Friday, the worship, prayer, and healing service. Lord God, however you desire that to look, Lord God, we ask collectively right now that you make that just a time that just touches people. It's beyond our imagination of what it should look like, because we know, Lord God, you want to do these things. So Jesus, we rest in you, but we're also active in you. We seek you, but we also seek those that don't know you. Jesus, you're our hope, our Savior, you're our everything. We pray this in your mighty name, Jesus. And everyone shout it out. Amen. You guys can grab a seat. All right. Everybody doing good today? So. Lots of people are out of town today. I never love that, but it happens. But that's okay. Kids, let's get you guys dismissed. You guys can run on down. Got a new thing starting today. It's going to be great. Adults, got a few quick announcements. Just a few. And one extra at the very end. But that's okay. Like I was saying during prayer, we have this night of worship, prayer, and healing. This is this Friday night, the 17th. It's going to be 7 p.m. Here's the deal. I don't know exactly what is going to happen. God just said, hey, you need to do this, and I don't want to be disobedient in something like this. So he put it on my heart, so we're going to do it. Here's what I would ask of you guys. I would ask you guys to be here. That's all I'm going to do. I'm going to say, be here, be ready to worship, to pray, to minister to others, to come. And if there's healing needs in your life, to come and be open to that. But I'm also going to ask you to humbly seek God from now until that day. If you want to fast, if God's leading you to do any of those things, I believe as Christians, we do have desires to see God move. We have desires to be a part of what he is doing, and we have desires to be obedient to him. But all too often, it's easy enough to say, oh, but there's other things going on. Oh, but what might that really look like? Might that be a little awkward or uncomfortable? And we have so many excuses, and we end up pulling away from things. And then we don't see the moves of God that we so desire and that we see in the book of Acts and things like that. I believe God wants to do some amazing things, but I believe God is waiting on his church to engage and to participate in those things. Does that make sense to you guys? That means we need to participate. The other thing that you need to do is invite people. Doesn't matter if they go to this church or not. We need to invite people so that they have an opportunity to come and pray with us, to worship with us, to come together, to get ministered to. If you have people in your life, if there are people that you know in this community that need a healing, and I don't care what kind of healing it is. It could be a physical healing, absolutely. If it's a sickness, if it's a long-term illness, if they have an emotional healing that they need, if they need a spiritual healing, we kind of have an obligation, I think, to at least invite them and give them that opportunity. Don't keep this a secret. It's not going to accomplish anything if we try to make this a secret. Like I said, I don't know how exactly it's going to look. I know we're going to have worship. I know we're going to have a lot of prayer. I know we're going to be available to anoint people and to pray for specific needs, especially in terms of healing. Other than that, we're just going to come together. We're going to bask in Jesus. But I'm asking you guys to make a commitment to be here, and let's just see what God wants to do, right? Even if I'm the only one here, I'm still going to be here. I know Dave's going to be here. So maybe it'll be just me and Dave, and we'll just worship and pray together. But I'm believing that more people are going to be here and that you guys are going to invite. You can get to that graphic right there. You can get that off of Facebook. You can get it out of our weekly emails. Just save that and just text that to people and just say, hey, I'm just throwing this out there for you. I'm just inviting you. Let's be verbal. Let's tell people about our Jesus, and let's watch Jesus. We're seeing Jesus do great things in this nation, in this world. And we have to rationalize and say, but why is he doing it over there and not over here and over there but not over there? And a lot of it has to do with our humility and our obedience. Amen? All right, 40 days for prayer. There's a prayer vigil coming up. Don't look at the bottom of that. I just grabbed a graphic this morning real quick. Don't look at that at all. Just look at the pray to end abortion top, right? Just look at that. Tuesday the 21st is our day and our time. So Tuesday the 21st at Planned Parenthood between 1 and 2 p.m. It's an hour. Just stop by. We're just going to, as a church, be there praying. It's a great thing to do. We want to pray to end abortion because we love life, right? God is the author of life. So we should love life as well. So that's Tuesday the 21st from 1 to 2 p.m. Even if you can come only 10 minutes, stop by for 10 minutes, it all matters. It's all about prayer, guys. It's all about prayer. And then, let's see, West of 50s. I got this late. So West of 50s, next Sunday, February 19th, right after service downstairs, we are having a sandwich bar. A sandwich bar. Everybody loves sandwiches, right? There's a sign up at the welcome desk, so please sign up. And it says this, if you are listening online, you can text Georgie to sign up. So come join us for fellowship and fun. Seriously, it will be fun. It says that right there. It says, seriously, it will be fun. We're not just talking about it being fun. It's going to seriously be fun. So put that on your calendar. And then the week after that, on the 26th, is our last Sundays and our annual business meeting. We're just going to do that all on the same day. So on the 26th, just plan to stay, bring something to share, a main dish, a dessert, all of that. We always have such good food and so much of it. Last Sundays is so much fun for me. It's just a blessing when I get to walk down there finally and there's people everywhere and it's loud and they're eating and they've got way too much food and they've got so many desserts and they're enjoying each other and they're connecting with each other. Last Sundays has been just a great thing that we have started. And then after that, we can come up and have our business meeting, our annual business meeting that we obviously have to have once a year. We will be having three elections. So there's it's just a weird year. Last year, we didn't have any elections, but how it staggered and everything came together this year. And we have three openings on the board. One person will be rerunning. Their term is not up, but two people are termed out, so that makes it a little weird. So we will do the elections. We'll do the standard business meeting stuff. Our business meetings don't tend to take very long. We don't have to. There's not usually a lot of junk that this church has to deal with. Maybe there was before, but now there isn't, so we can kind of move through these meetings. They're very uneventful, usually. They're pretty easy to get through. So please, if you're a member, for sure you need to be here for that. If you're going to be gone, if you can't be here, you can get some absentee ballots. But if you can, please be here. If you're not a member, you can still attend. You just can't vote, but you can kind of get an idea of just where we're going as a church and our finances and how God's taking care of us and who's the leadership here and all of those things. So please just be open to that and please attend both of those things. It's awesome to connect. How many of you guys love connection? I've been thinking, it was yesterday and today and this idea that you know, God has never been alone. God has never been alone. He is always, there's always, the Trinity has always existed. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There has always been three, and there's always been a connection. So we can think, man, wow, God has never, ever, 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 ever been alone. And God does not desire any of us to be alone either. Because being alone stinks, doesn't it? We need connection in our lives. So we do these things so that we can connect. And that's one of the biggest things about this church is we try to make it as easy as possible to connect. So the people who, man, they might have been in church all their lives and they have a preconceived notion of what church looks like. They come here, they can maybe sometimes finally experience what true church looks like. And part of that is connection. And people who have never stepped foot in church again, who have a preconceived notion about what church is. This, and start to make connections and start to break those ideas out of their brains and mindsets and worldviews. It's an awesome, awesome thing. I'm so proud of our church for being biblically sound and an easy place to connect. It's a great, great thing when it comes to church. All right, four ways to give real quickly. Give online, bridgehelena.com. You can text it. You can use the giving boxes. You can mail it. If you have our church app, which I hope most all of you do, you can get to everything on our church app. You can get to messages. You can get to the giving page. You can get to the calendar. I don't even know what else you can get to. That thing has so much, so beyond my ability, but it's just a great thing to have. So please continue to give. Take the challenge that God sets out there to give. And sometimes even if we've been a lifetime giver and we understand the principles of giving and why giving is so incredibly important, sometimes we can just get into the normality of giving. You know, I give my stuff and we don't challenge ourselves anymore. But we can always continue to challenge ourselves. So man, if you've been given 10% for your entire life, Maybe God's saying, hey, give 12 or 15 or 20%. I don't know. Maybe God's saying, hey, give to these missionaries or give to this ministry over here. Allow God to challenge you in that, because God loves to challenge us, and we should love to be challenged by God, because when we meet that challenge, great things tend to happen. Amen? Yeah. All right. We are going to jump into this message. Hopefully you guys got a bulletin today, because on the bulletin there's some places where you can fill stuff in. We finally have come to a service and a message where it's going to be fun to go through this one. It just really is. I won't promise you that next week is going to be as fun. It's going to be challenging next week. But today, let's just focus on today. It's going to be great. So let's pray and we will get started. Father, thank you that you love us so much, that you called us into your church, Lord God. You called us into a relationship with your Son. Jesus, you came, you lived, you walked this earth, you taught, you ministered. But Lord God, your primary purpose for coming was to die upon that cross so that we could have forgiveness of our sins. And yet you didn't leave it there, because on the third day you rose again, conquering death. So not only are we forgiven of our sins, we now can have life, eternal life. And that life is a life that we are to be living right now. Thank you, Father, for your plan. Thank you, Jesus, for your action. And beyond that, you have given us a job, and that is to share. That is simply to share of your greatness, of your forgiveness, of your grace, and of your mercy. Lord God, help us to be faithful in that, but help us to understand how that actually looks. Holy Spirit, you have been given for just this purpose, so that we can share, that we can have the words and the boldness and the opportunities. Help us to hear your voice. Help us to speak your words. Help us to see those opportunities. Holy Spirit, allow me to speak what you have for me to speak today. Shut my mouth with everything else. And once again, Jesus, we're praying. Holy Spirit, we're asking. Father, we're believing that you won't let anybody leave here the same way that they came in. We believe that there's transformation happening. We believe that your church is rising up, your true church, your Bible-believing, born-again, true church is rising up, and it's exciting. So Lord God, we look with anticipation for everything that you are doing, everything that you are going to do. We ask, Lord God, that you touch our hearts, touch our bodies, touch our minds. We love you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. And everyone said, don't you love it? Don't you love it when everyone says amen? Everyone gets together and we can shout out amen together. It's a great thing. It causes us that connection. We're all in agreement. I love being in agreement. We live in a world where there is so much agreement everywhere, isn't there? Just everybody agrees on everything. Quite the opposite. We live in a world where everything is split apart. Nobody gets along. Everybody's got to point fingers. Everybody's got to say things. Yet in the church, we have agreement. And we have agreement in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, let's get rolling. So last week, you guys were here last week. We took a look into the meaning, really, this idea of having a personal relationship with Jesus. And hopefully you were challenged and gained maybe just a little bit better understanding of what it really means to have a personal relationship with Jesus. It's challenging because a personal relationship with Jesus includes a personal relationship with his church. So you do got to love Jesus and you got to love others. That's a hard part, isn't it? It's easy. It's easy to love Jesus, but I tell you, it can be hard to love others. If you remember this, I said, the question can never be, what does a personal relationship with Jesus look like to me? It has to be, how does God define and describe a personal relationship with Jesus? See, it's all got to be based on God. It's got to be based on His scriptures. When I start making stuff up on my own, when I start making conditions on my own, when I start making anticipations on my own, things get a little bit messed up. And within this, we see that God's plan is that personal relationship with the Son, Jesus, as well as the church, His church, the bride of Jesus, and really a desire to invite people into that relationship. See, something has to build within us. We can have a personal relationship with Jesus. We can even have connection with the church, but it has to take that next step, and we have to have a desire that builds in us to invite others that are outside of this church. Maybe they look a little different. Maybe they have different political views. Maybe their skin's a little different color. Maybe they were brought up differently. Goodness sakes, maybe they're from California. But something's got to build in us a desire to say, hey, though you are out there, I would love to invite you in here so that you can experience this love with Jesus, this relationship with Jesus, as well as His church. It's all about connection. You know, what is our mission statement here at Bridge? It's easy, isn't it? It's connect with God, it's connect with others, and it's connect others with God. It's so simple, and it's so biblical, and it's so great. If you missed last week's message, please go back and listen, because it has everything to do with who we are as a church. And really, what our mission is, what our goal is, where we're going. This morning we're going to look at 10 tips to sharing your faith. 10 tips to sharing your faith. Think that might be useful in this day and age? 10 tips, having just some things to draw upon? I think it will. I personally believe that you first need a personal relationship with Jesus in conjunction with others in order to get to that place in our faith where we have a desire to share. So the fact that you come together on Sunday mornings, the fact that you stay when we do last Sundays, or you come to Wednesday nights, or you hang out outside of church and you have that connection, that all is going to help you to have a desire to share with others. See, a lone wolf Christian that just has a relationship with Jesus, doesn't really like the church, doesn't want to plug in, doesn't do organized religion, as they say, doesn't do any of that, they're not really going to want to share their faith, because they don't want to invite somebody into something that they're not going to participate in anyway. So come together. We got to be together, and that will help us. That's one of the great things that comes and helps us to want to share. In your Bibles, please turn with me to Acts 1:8. Of course we're going to Acts 1:8. It says this: but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I think that last statement, to the ends of the earth, pretty much includes everything. I don't know that we have to purposefully go to Mars with the intention of sharing Jesus, mostly because there's nobody on Mars. To the ends of the earth, I guess if we ever colonize Mars, then God's going to have to come and redo this a little bit, say to the ends of the earth and beyond. But as it stands right now, the ends of the earth takes care of everything. There are some very clear-cut, definitive statements in Acts 1:8, isn't there? It says this: you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will receive it. You will be my witnesses. See, there's not a lot of room for debate. There's not a lot of room for interpretation here. Well, what they're really trying to say is this. No, what they're really trying to say, what the Holy Spirit empowered Jesus to say, what is being said here, what is being written down, you absolutely will. There's no debate here. There's no kind of, there's no might. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Now we know this as the Great Commission, and it's pretty great for so many different reasons. And this right here, Acts 1:8, right here is what the rest of the book of Acts is all about. The entire rest of the book of Acts, and really the rest of the Bible, is about this. It's about the Great Commission. As a born-again believer, this right here is our primary and our most important job. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Because it's so easy to develop. Those aren't my specific giftings. I'm better over here. I'm better behind the scenes. I'm better here and here and here. And it's like, man, God has given each of us specific giftings, hasn't he? But he has given us all one general gifting, hasn't he? It's called the Great Commission. And it is so important, in fact, that the Father himself sent the Holy Spirit so that we have the ability and the boldness to be his witnesses. He also sent the Holy Spirit so that he could provide an increase in the effectiveness of our words and our witness. That in itself is so good, right? Are you that good at dealing with people and sharing your faith? You may or may not be, but it doesn't matter because he gave the Holy Spirit to make you more effective, to give you boldness and to give you the right words. My goodness, how much more confidence can we get? There is nothing that would give us more confidence than this idea that the Holy Spirit is with us. He is in all of this. You don't have to take a class. You don't have to learn how to publicly speak. You don't have to take, what do they do in all those, like workshops, big government jobs and companies are saying, oh, you used the wrong word there. You used a trigger word. You need to go learn how to speak better. You know, that's all garbage. The truth is the Holy Spirit comes within us and teaches us how to talk right. Amen to that. I need that. Man, I need the Holy Spirit to help me talk right. I don't want to be talking no wrong. I want to be talking right. So we look at all this. We read it. We pray about it. We believe it. And it sounds like God, in God's wisdom and in his plan, he not only gives us the tools to succeed, but he also sets us up for that success, right? He puts it all before us. And all we got to do is get out of our seats. All we got to do is get out of our comfort zones. All we got to do is take those steps, rely upon the Holy Spirit, open our mouths, and begin to speak. See, the main thing we need to supply here is the desire. Desire that comes from a personal relationship with Jesus and the edification of the church. See, that's what builds that desire. So the commission or our job that God has given us to do is not to be looked at as tedious or burdensome or awkward or something to fear. What do you think of those pictures? You know what that picture is on this side? Yeah, them are the door knockers, aren't they? Right? And it's like, wait, does the Great Commission mean I gotta walk around and knock on doors and try to be a salesman, a door-to-door salesman? And it's like, man, you know, we look out there and our ring little camera, and we gotta hide, right? We'll pretend like we're not home because they're knocking on the door and it's gonna be awkward. I love it when they knock on the door. Personally, I think that's fun and entertaining to me because I get to speak truth, but in a fun way. But then sometimes we think, well, if it's not that, it's probably more like this, right? I need to get my signs in my soapbox and go out to the middle of Last Chance, which that's not Last Chance, I don't think, but it kind of looks like it. And I can stand there and I can shout out and I can yell at people. And man, that's effective. That's pretty effective, right? Sometimes it is, but not always. How many of you guys would enjoy doing this one? Not very many of us would enjoy that because that's a rather impersonal way Right. I'm going to preach at them, but I'm not going to be personal. And this way is just an awkward way. You don't know, man. Do they got a dog? Do they, what's going on? So sometimes we look at those things and then that can, we can start to think, oh man, this whole Great Commission witnessing, sharing my faith is tedious or burdensome or awkward or something to fear. But instead of that, we should feel honored. We should feel honored. We should be humbled and excited that God loves us and he trusts us so much to bestow such a great responsibility on us. Come on now. That's kind of, it's like, seriously, God, you're entrusting that to me? Your whole plan to spread the gospel to the ends of the earth, it's based on me, my obedience, my humility, and my ability to speak about you. That's a messed up plan. God is way more trusting than I would ever be, right? Because it's like, man, there's stuff around the church. It's like, no, I'll paint that. No, thank you for offering, but I'm going to paint that, or I'll fix that, or I'll do this, because I'm not always that trusting, right? I want things done just right, and God's saying, no, everybody's going to do it. Everybody? God, seriously, God, you may not know people quite like I do, but you're putting that great responsibility on all of us, and he's saying, that's my plan, guys. That's my plan. And not only is it going to spread the gospel, it's going to draw you closer to me, each one of you in your relationship. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. And we're over here shaking and wondering, God, how is this your plan? But it is. It's his plan. See, right at the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, we see this model, and it's established right at the beginning. If you have your Bibles, again, turn a little bit back to John. We're going to look at John chapter 1, and this is verse 35 through 42. Listen to this account. The next day, again, John the Baptist, was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him. He heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, what are you seeking? Remember that. He asked a question, what are you seeking? And they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? And he said to them, come and you will see. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him the rest of the day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which means Peter. Now you may have never thought about evangelism quite like this, but I think it's a wonderful example of the simplicity of the Great Commission. See, Andrew found John, and through that interaction, Andrew was introduced to Jesus. And then Andrew spent time with Jesus, and then Andrew went to find his brother Simon in order to tell him that he had found Jesus, the Messiah, but Andrew did not leave it there. Andrew then took Simon to Jesus so that Simon could personally meet Jesus. See, it wasn't weird. It wasn't complicated. Andrew didn't have to read a book. He didn't have to take a workshop. It was simple and it was personal. Andrew was not acting out of guilt or compulsion, but rather out of excitement and intention. We found Jesus. We found the Messiah. You got to come meet this guy. You got to. It's an amazing thing. Come on. No, drop what you're doing The time has come. You got to meet this guy. I want to introduce you to this guy. See, they were excited, and they had that intention. If you get nothing else out of today's message, remember this. Sharing Christ with others is meant to be simple and personal. How many times have we tried to make it something other than that? Now, I want to tell you this. Simple does not always mean easy, and personal doesn't always mean safe. Sometimes we fall into that misnomer. Simple is not always easy, and personal isn't always safe. But remember, we have the Holy Spirit to lead us. We have the Holy Spirit to guide us. And we have the Holy Spirit to give us the right words. So first and foremost, simple and personal. Before we jump into the 10 tips to sharing your faith, let's establish a few ground rules. Got to have some ground rules, right? These are ground rules that we must understand and we must embrace. Number one, it's God's plan. It's God's plan. Therefore, we must represent God in an appropriate and a responsible manner. How many of you guys know that's important? It's important to represent God in an appropriate and responsible manner. Number two, we have to understand it's all of our job. It's all our job. See, this is not a part of your faith that you can opt out of, because God calls us all to this. That's a biblical truth, right? Not all of us are worship leaders. Not all of us are pastors. Not all of us are any of those different things. Maybe God has given you the ability to be just blessed in your work, or being able to memorize scripture or those things. Man, God does different things in each one of us because we're all unique. There's one thing that is not unique about us, and that's this calling, the Great Commission, and understanding evangelism is all of our job. Number three, one day at a time, one opportunity at a time, one person at a time. This is super important. These are ground rules. Man, we can look at, you look at Helena, I look at Helena all the time, and I'm like, what a dark community of people that need Jesus. I look at that, and that can be overwhelming. But then I got to come back to number three of my ground rules and say, yeah, but it's one day at a time. It's one opportunity at a time, and it's one person at a time. Remember, simple and personal. God has not given us an overwhelming or impossible task, but he has given us a task that we are all to be involved in. Number four, the gospel is just too good to keep to yourself. You guys believe that? Do you? Do you really? I believe it. Man, it is life-changing. It is transformative. Man, God, he has given us this beautiful, beautiful gospel message. And how can we keep it to ourselves? And then number five, we got to keep this in mind. The time is now, and the time is short.
Amen.
Because we do not know when those around us are going to step into eternity. Everybody will step into eternity. We are eternal beings. Where we spend eternity, that's what has yet to be determined. But we don't know when those around us are going to step into eternity. It could be a sudden death. It could be a long, drawn-out process. Somebody could get in a car accident today. Somebody could take their own life. They're stepping into eternity. We have to understand that time is short. Our ability to speak is short. So we don't want to linger. We don't want to say, maybe next year I'll share with that person. We must be sensitive to the fragility of life. And we also know that Jesus is, in fact, coming back for his church. We don't know when that is. We can look at seasons. We can talk about that. What we really need to know is that Jesus is coming back. And we need to know that we need to be at work when he comes back, right? We got to be at work. We got to be doing the things that Jesus left us to do. And the thing that he left us to do is called the Great Commission. Flip over to Matthew 9 real quick. Matthew 9:35-38, and Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest, into his harvest." If we pray, earnestly pray, God, I'm just going to be faithful here. I'm going to pray that you send workers out into the harvest. Who do you think he's going to send? Duh. He's going to send the person that has a commission on their life, a great commission on their life. See, Jesus had, and Jesus still has, compassion. His desire was, and his desire still is, workers for the harvest. So as we look at these 10 tips in sharing your faith, if you are looking for some magic formula that will make everything easy, you're probably going to be pretty disappointed today. Because the reality of living out the Great Commission in your life has a lot to do with you deciding that Jesus is worth the time and the effort, and so are those who are apart from him. Amen. Amen. 10 tips to sharing your faith. Let's get going on this. Well, go back. We don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. There we go. Now you guys know the second one. Forget that one for now, because we don't want to go too fast. Principle number one, ask and rely upon the Holy Spirit. Well, of course, this is number one, right? It has to be number one. John 14:26. But the helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act upon my behalf. He will teach you all things, and he will help you remember everything that I have told you. You want to know the number one issue or deterrent for people when it comes to sharing their faith? You want to know the number one? You ready? Because here it comes. The number one issue or deterrent to sharing our faith is that we allow fear to crowd out and to mute the Holy Spirit. Wow. I should have got a whole lot more groans in here. Because you do it. And I do it, and we all do it, and something happens, and we see a situation, and maybe it's a perfect situation, perfect opportunity. God lays it all out, and man, that person's right there, and they're asking. They want to know about Jesus, and yet still I have fear, and it deters me, and I'm allowing that, so I'm not obeying, I'm not hearing the Holy Spirit, I'm not hearing the words to speak through the Holy Spirit, because it mutes it. Because I have decided to take on fear. But if I seek the Holy Spirit, it helps to deter that fear. It helps to move that fear out of there so that I'm connected in a way that's appropriate and true. See, what we see with our earthly eyes, what we hear with our earthly ears, and what we perceive with our earthly minds obscures the supernatural power and ability of the Holy Spirit. Don't let the temporal mess up what you know the Holy Spirit to be all about, the truth. So when you have those situations, don't be relying on your own eyes, your own ears, your own thought processes. Simply step back and begin to rely upon the Holy Spirit. See, the Father, in his infinite wisdom, knew that we would struggle here. He knew that we would struggle with fear. And therefore, he has given us the Holy Spirit. Ask and rely upon the Holy Spirit. Number two is pray. I didn't see that coming. Well, of course this is number two. It has to be, right? It has to be number two. See, we don't pray and ask if we should share. We don't pray. God, should I share the gospel? In this situation, should I share the gospel? We don't pray that because we already know that's our job, right? We don't have to pray that. Rather, we pray for the wisdom on how we share. Right, there's a big difference in just sharing and how we share. So we have to understand that. Prayer here is very much submission. I'm submitting to God. We pray for His will, and we pray for His wisdom, and we pray for His words. Look at Psalms 5:3. It's such a great psalm. In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will prepare a prayer and a sacrifice for you and watch and wait for you to speak to my heart. Isn't that awesome? How wonderful is that? See how we start out our day? What we do first in our day affects how we hear the Holy Spirit and how we embrace the opportunities that He places in our life. It starts in the morning. It starts with prayer. Prayer prepares us for our purpose, so be purposeful in your prayer. That's a tongue twister. But as I was writing this message, I just thought, man, what could we say? What is a snippet that we could have? Prayer prepares us for our purpose, and be purposeful in our prayer. Be purposeful in your prayer. All right, number three. Are you writing these down? I hope so. Number three, ground yourself in the truth and power of the Word. Well, of course this is number three. It has to be, right? Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and active and full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of soul and spirit, the completeness of a person, and of both joints and marrow, the deepest part of our nature, exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of the heart. Being grounded in the Word accomplishes several things. It keeps us in a right and a true relationship with God. You've got to be in a right and true relationship with God, especially if you're going to be sharing the gospel message, right? It keeps us safe in our theology. You got to be grounded in the Word so that you are safe in your theology, what you believe, what you know the Bible to say. And when we ground ourselves in the Word, it reminds us of our purpose, doesn't it? Y'all got purpose. You believe it? But when we ground ourselves in the Word, we read the Word, we're reminded of our purpose. And it provides us with the wisdom and the knowledge that we need. Yes, the Holy Spirit gives us the words, but the Holy Spirit reminds us of the things that we know. And then we can say, hey, there's this Bible verse that I know. You know it because you've been exposed to it. You know it because you've read it. You got to ground yourself in the Word. It's a good one. Keep in the Word. You want to speak the gospel? Don't forsake your time in the Word. Number four, answer with questions. Answer with questions. Jesus was the master here. We just saw it. Jesus was always answering with questions. Did you know that Jesus asked around 135 questions? And really, he did that because it's a great way to further and deepen the conversation. How many of you guys know that, man? If you're in a conversation and you ask questions, it furthers the conversation. And sometimes you don't ask questions that you can just yes or no, but you ask deeper questions that cause that conversation. We shouldn't fear this. Well, what if I ask a question to a non-believer and they came back with this? What would I do? Well, if you don't know what to do, you ask another question. It's a great, great thing. See, when we ask questions, we help people to move on their own. And we also show them that we don't just want to preach to them. See, the guy on the down on the main street with all the signs and everything, he was preaching to the crowd, right? There was no interaction. There was no conversation. There was no time for questions. Every conversation and opportunity to share your faith will be different. They're all unique in nature. However, if you are determined to lead through questions, you are going to be more effective no matter who you're talking to, no matter what age, no matter what religious background, no matter what scientific background. You ask questions, it puts it back on them, and then they have to continue to move. It's a great way to do things, and we watch Jesus model that. Number five, this is a good one. Speak from a place of experience, not speculation or debate. Ooh, this is such an important one. You star this one. Underline this one. Speak from a place of experience, not speculation or debate. Acts 4:13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Amen to that. See, there is no substitute from being with Jesus. There's just no substitute. This is where our testimony comes into vital importance here. I don't need to debate someone about the theological or historical existence of Jesus. And frankly, that's just not that exciting to me to do so. But do you know what is exciting to me? Sharing about Jesus and what he has done in my life. See, I have a personal experience there. I am not speaking from a textbook anymore. I am speaking about what Jesus did in my life. How can that be debated? It can't be. I'm not here to argue with you or anything like that about this or that. I'm just going to tell you what Jesus has done in my life. That is exciting. Testifying as to how he has changed me, healed me, loved me, and died for me. See, we should be showing people that we have been with Jesus. Too many people, too many Christians are going out there. They're argumentative, and the last thing that they're conveying is that they've ever really been with Jesus. I hate to say it, but it's like, man, I hear what's coming out of your mouth. I see how you're acting. I see the track you're taking, and that just doesn't seem like you've been with Jesus, because I know the attributes of Jesus. In fact, I know Jesus personally. I know what he speaks. I know what his Bible says. And really, it's not happening here. So we got to show people. We got to show people that we've been with Jesus. It should alter the way we talk, shouldn't it?
Amen. I guess so, Pastor. If it has to, I guess.
Absolutely, it should. All right, number six. Be honest. You don't have an answer, offer to find one together. Be honest. Man, don't fake it till you make it, because you're only going to dig a hole that you can't get out of. So if you're in this process and you're sharing the gospel, you're sharing your faith, you're talking about what Jesus has done to you, and they come back with a question, and you're like, ooh, that's a good question. I don't know that I know the answer to that question. Don't just start making stuff up. Please don't start making stuff up. That's how all sorts of weird stuff happens, right? Lots of weird stuff can happen. Look at 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. So that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. If you have a question and you don't know it, you don't got to get all anxious about that. You got to rely upon him. You got to cast your cares upon God. See, humility allows us to say, that's a great question. You know, I don't know the answer, but I would love to look into that further. You want to progress in that? You want to try to figure out what that means? Man, I got some people I can call and talk to, and I can get back to you, and we can discuss this answer. See, that very humility just may be the thing that ultimately opens the door to them receiving the gospel. How many of you guys love talking to arrogant know-it-all people in general? You guys love that? Oh, I love it, right? It's like, oh my gosh, Really? You know everything about everything, don't you? And sometimes we meet Christians that do this. Man, they know everything about everything. And it's like, man, I love him because he's a brother in Christ. But boy, it's hard to listen. We got to be humble. That humility is what the world is looking for. The world is looking for people that say, you know, I trust in God completely, so much so that I can tell you I don't know that answer. And I can tell you we can find that answer together. So be humble. Please be humble. Number seven is be bold. Can you be humble and be bold at the same time? Absolutely. That's called meekness, right? Now, being bold, this one can be hard, can't it? It absolutely can. Look at Ephesians 3, 11 and 12. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. We have access. We have access. We have boldness and confidence because we have a faith in him. Will we ever be bold enough on our own? Absolutely not. No, we won't. But when we're in him and we're relying upon him, we see and we understand and we know what happened to the disciples in the early church, and it continues to happen to disciples all the way around the world right now. They should be fearful under penalty of torture and death. They should be fearful, and yet they are bold. See, our faith combined with the Holy Spirit produces a boldness that compels us to do some amazing things. It absolutely, it honestly does. The problem is we don't always do amazing things because sometimes we're not bold enough. Sometimes we're not relying upon the Holy Spirit enough. Please get grounded. See, if you feel like your boldness is in need of some bolstering, I would refer you back to 1, 2, and 3 on this list. That's how you're going to build that confidence, right? That's how you're going to build your faith. And boldness is going to proceed from that. Amen? Yeah. All right. That's it. That's the 10. No, that's only 80%. We got two more, right? Three more. We got three more. Number 8's a huge one. Understand rejection. Oh, goodness. This is so vital here. It is so vital to understand rejection. Look at John 15, 18. If the world hates you, and it does, know that it has hated me before it hated you. Do you guys know you're hated? You guys are hated. Not by people in here. That's why we love being in here. It's a safe space. We're around people that love us. But in general, the world hates you. See, if people rejecting you is the determining factor in your witness, then either you will never witness, or your witness will be anorexic or even toxic. You will be rejected. And then you'll be rejected again. And then you'll be rejected again. Over and over and over again, you will be rejected until you're not. And that one person who listens and responds will always be worth all the others who reject your words of life.
Amen.
Amen. Come on now. You're going to get rejected. Go into it knowing. You don't go into it thinking, well, I'll just kind of use some words here. I'm not going to try real hard because I'm going to be rejected. No, you go into every situation all out, bold, 100% confident, excited. Man, I'm going to keep this simple and I'm going to keep it personal. I'm going to talk about Jesus out of my experience. I'm not going to fall into this trap of debating or arguing or anything. Like, man, I just want to talk about Jesus. Man, I'm going to talk to them about what Jesus has done in my life, how he has healed me. You're probably going to reject me. But it doesn't matter. I'm still going to be excited because I'm throwing seeds. Man, I'm throwing seeds every which way. I'm talking about Jesus. It doesn't matter if you reject me or not. That is not going to tarnish or taint my desire to talk about the one who has changed my life. Who cares? Who cares if you get rejected? That should never keep you from sharing with the next person and the next person and the next person. Because here's the deal, God's word doesn't return void. Even if this person over here rejected you and you move on and you're on the 10th person, you're talking about Jesus, man, those words have been spoken to this first person. He has to rationalize those words. You don't know what God is going to choose to do. You don't know what the Holy Spirit is going to choose to do. You don't know if another person is going to come back and say the exact same words, and they're going to remind him, and they're going to say, why are people keep talking to me about this Jesus? Maybe I ought to give it a try. So even in our rejection, God can use that. So never let rejection determine if you're going to share or not. See, understanding this brings a healthy balance to us, as well as an enduring desire to share. We got to have that health. Man, if you don't have that, if you base everything on rejection, you are going to mope around. You're going to feel like the biggest Christian failure ever. Until we get back into Scripture and we realize how many people rejected Jesus when he was here walking and on earth, right? Remember when all the disciples, John 66:6, I think, man, the disciples, a lot of them decided not to follow him anymore. They rejected him there at the end. How terrible was that? And Jesus was like, but I'm still going to die for them. Even in their rejection, I'm going to extend life. Let's take a cue from Jesus and understand rejection. All right. Number nine, speak with life, love, and excitement. Do we really got to put this on here? Yeah, we do. Don't be an Eeyore. Don't be an Eeyore, Creed. Well, I guess I have to, if I got to. My life is horrible, but Jesus is my hope. I want to follow that Jesus, right? Just trying to get through life. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm worthless on my own. I don't know why God would ever accept me, but he'll accept you too. I want to go to that church. I hope they have a potluck. Wonder what they eat, thistles? John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Man, yes, he's the way. Jesus is the only way, right? He is the only way to the Father. Jesus is the truth. In him there is no lie. Absolute truth is in Jesus. We can count on that. But you know what else? Jesus is the life. We need to get excited about this, right? I not only have the way, because the way can be all sorts of things. The way can be tedious. But this way isn't. I can have the truth. The truth can hurt. And the truth can condemn. But his truth doesn't. You know why? Because he's the life. God wants to extend that life through Jesus. Man, it's life. It's eternal life. Eternal life means I have eternal hope. Eternal life means that no matter what this world throws at me, there's something greater. That's something to get excited about. How can we not get excited about that? That's something that we need to talk to people about. Man, though this life looks terrible right now and you're in a situation that just plain stinks, man, there's the one. There's the one. He's my Jesus. I have a personal experience with him. And let me tell you, he is the way. In my life, he was the only way. And when he began to speak that truth in my life, it changed my life completely. And I know and I live in the confidence that I have eternal life in him. That's exciting. Man, I want to go to a church that speaks like that, right? They got the potluck that's all desserts. Because you get the meat up top. Right? Get the meat on the Sunday morning, get the desserts after. It's awesome. Don't be an Eeyore. Get excited, man. Speak with that excitement. How can this not compel us to speak with life and love, right? That's what we're supposed to be doing, man. There's too many mindsets out there that they lay all this out and it's like, man, here's what you say. Man, you take this and you just walk up to a stranger and you lead them in here. And if they say this, then you go to B. If they say this, you go to E. And it takes you through, and we're directing them, and by the end, you'll get them to pray the prayer and all this, and man, they're praying the prayer, so you'll shut up and leave. That's why they're praying the prayer, because you're not speaking with life and love. There's no simplicity, and there's no personal. That's what we used to call, when dealing with Native Americans, we would call that cold evangelism. Nobody wants cold evangelism. We want warmth. We want personal. We want to speak. We want to hear about what Jesus did in your... Man, tell me what Jesus did in your life. I want to hear about that, because all this other stuff's abstract, but I can speak about what he did in my life in a very personal way with life and love. So we need to get excited about sharing. Man, we get talking so fast and the person's like, oh my gosh, this guy's wired on Jesus. Man, that's the drug I want. I want that in my life. And that conveys how much Jesus means to us. Again, not tedious, right? It's not, oh gosh, I gotta do it. It's my great commission. I gotta go knock on doors and things like that. I got a coworker. His life took a turn. It's terrible. He's in this dark place. I guess I could go pray and talk about Jesus to him if I have to. No, you don't have to. That's the thing. You should want to, though. All right, brings us to number 10. Number 10, live with expectancy. How many of you guys live with expectancy? Live with good expectancy. How about that? Too many of us live with expectancy that's not always that, well, I suppose. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. No, we live with a Christ expectancy. See, we should wake up. Honestly, we should wake up every morning with the expectation of a God opportunity. How many of you guys wake up every morning with the expectation of a God opportunity? Probably not. But maybe after today, for at least the next few days, maybe we will. Maybe we'll do it long enough where it becomes a habit. Okay, God, what are you going to do today? Okay, God, I don't know. I'm humble and I'm available. So God, what are you going to do today? I have an expectation of a God opportunity or a divine appointment today. Is it going to happen every day? Well, unless you don't leave the house and spend time in your closet without any communication ability, it's going to happen. Because God is always putting opportunities out there. The problem is we're not in a position to see those opportunities. But if I wake up every morning with the expectation of a divine appointment or a God opportunity, guess what? I'm looking for it. I'm looking for it. Here I am. I'm looking. Instead of being oblivious or trying to ignore that. So live with expectancy. It's a great thing. Do you really think that God will hold back those opportunities from us if we have that expectation, desire, willingness, and a trust within him? He's like, yeah. Mike, you're asking for it. You want to talk to somebody about Jesus today. And it's like Lucy with the football, right? And she pulls it away right at the end. Ha ha. And God's up there going, Mike, you fell for it again. No, he doesn't do that. If we align ourselves and we have that expectation, we have that desire, we have that willingness, and we have that trust within him, we're dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Man, we're in our word. We're prayed up. We're excited. We know we'll probably get rejected, but we don't care. We're excited about it. Man, God is faithful in that. God is going to do that. Here's the deal. If just one person in here or listening online actually listens to this message today and says, you know what, I'm going to be aware, I'm going to put this into play, I want an opportunity, I want to go talk to somebody about Jesus. If just one person does that, that could change everything. One person could change everything. Now, my hope is not just one person. Maybe I should say, hey, I hope three people in here do it. Three people? Wow, three people go out and they actually share their faith. How might that transform our church? Greatly. It could greatly transform our church. That would be like three people. Boy, what if five people did it? What if 10 people did it? What if we actually, as a body, got excited? What if we, boy, here's a novel idea. Invite people to a time of worship, prayer, and healing on a Friday night? Whoa, what might that do? He's saying, I'm going to buy you a cup of coffee on Sunday morning. Great. Where are you going to do that? It's a new place called Bridge. Bridge Cafe. You should come up. Well, buy you coffee there. It's one way to get them into church, right? But what if we actually stepped out and we started doing those things? How exciting would that be? See, we got to get excited about all of this. We got to get excited. But here's 10 things, 10 tips to sharing your faith. I don't think any one of those causes us to radically change who we are as a Christian. Do you? I think we're probably doing most of those to some extent. Now let's put them all together and incorporate those into our life and start doing those. So there they are. There they are, 10 tips. But here's a bonus. Here's an extra credit. I couldn't leave this one out. Relax. God will take care of you. Live in this confidence and this truth. Relax. Just relax, right? How many of you guys get so amped up over the craziest things and and you're anxious about things? And we should be excited when we share, but if we're overly anxious when we go to share with somebody, they're going to check out your body language, and it's going to be like the guy's knocking on the door trying to look in the window, except they're a little too eager and things like that. We just need to relax. Because God gives us a spirit of calmness, right? And it's calmness with excitement. And we start out the conversation. And we're nice and relaxed. We're talking about Jesus. And we have that confidence. We're talking about Jesus. And as that progresses on and we start asking questions and they ask us a question, we ask a question back because that's what Jesus does. We allow the conversation to keep going. Then our excitement begins to build. And yet we are still relaxed. We are excited and we are going. So relax. Relax. God will take care of you. Live in that confidence and live in that truth. Worship team, if you guys want to come up here. I'm going to say this. I said it before. Jesus said it. The harvest can seem overwhelming. How many of you guys in here can list one person in your immediate life that needs Jesus? Anybody in here? One person. How many of you guys in here could list 10 people that need Jesus? Living in this community, driving in this community. Man, I drive around this community and say, man, there's a bunch of people that need Jesus. Right? There's so many people that we encounter every day. Maybe it's in our neighborhood. Maybe it's in our workplace. Man, my workplace is filled with people that need Jesus. Let me tell you. Maybe it's campuses. Maybe it's whatever. Maybe it's just your sphere of influence. Maybe you're involved in different clubs or stuff. Man, there's so many people that need Jesus. Go to Walmart. Walmart is a magnet for people that need Jesus in regular clothes. But that place is full of people that need Jesus. You go out to eat. Some little guy or girl comes over and wants to take your order. That person probably needs Jesus. We're living in a community where I'm going to say 90-some percent of people in this community need Jesus. And I'm talking about born-again, solid, true belief in Jesus. The harvest is out there, but the harvest can seem overwhelming. And sometimes we look at that and we use that as an excuse, don't we? Oh man, this whole community needs Jesus. I wouldn't know where to start. And that's our excuse. But though it can seem overwhelming, sometimes we just need to pull it back and we focus on that one piece of wheat instead of the entire harvest, right? We really look at the entire field of wheat, man, that is overwhelming. Sometimes we just need to focus on that one piece of wheat. Because to the Father, that one piece is important enough to be your opportunity. That one piece is important enough to be your opportunity. Will you overlook that opportunity? I hope not. Like I said, if one person in here listens to this message today and incorporates it into their lives and applies it, oh, the change in the kingdom. It says, the Bible says, man, when one person comes to Jesus, there's rejoicing in the heavenly realm. How awesome is that? Most likely that one person came to Jesus because one Christian had the boldness to step out in that opportunity. That's just one. What if 3, 5, 10, 20? What if everybody in here today just shared with one person? Well, you said they're probably going to get rejected. Yeah, let's plant some seeds. Let's be a church of rejection. Amen. We'll get some t-shirts made. Bridge Assembly, the church of rejection. Now that might convey the wrong message. It's okay to be rejected, but it's not okay to withhold the life-giving gospel that Jesus has. Amen. Take these 10 principles plus the bonus. Take the guide, the rules, the first rules. We can put that all together, wad it up in a big giant ball, eat it up, and start applying that. Don't be afraid. Don't let fear mute the Holy Spirit. Don't let fear steal the opportunities that God is placing in your life. I'm telling you, it's more addictive than any drug. Talking about Jesus, talking about my Jesus. They sing, they write songs about it, don't they, Jen? They write songs about it, talking about, we're going to sing that song, and we're going to rise up. Man, we're going to sing that song loud. And now I hope you understand that if you sing this song, it has a whole different meaning. Well, that's a catchy tune. It's kind of southern. It's like, let me tell you about my Jesus. That's fun to sing, right? Yeah, let's sing it. But now we have an understanding that it carries a much larger connotation. It's tied to the Great Commission. Oh, wait, the Great Commission is for each one of us. The Great Commission is what I need to be about. So if I sing this song, let me tell you about my Jesus, I'm proclaiming to the Lord that I'm going to tell some people about my Jesus. Be careful what you sing. Be careful what you pray. Because God is going to grant you these prayers and these opportunities. Oh, how wonderful will it be? Man, if anybody's going to a Super Bowl party, there's going to be Eagles fans, and they need Jesus. Right? There's going to be all sorts of people. If you have to run by the store because you got to grab a bag of chips, I'm not saying just go start grabbing people and say, my pastor said I got to share about Jesus with you. No, we listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit, right? We keep it simple. We keep it personal. Sometimes that first initial conversation is just so that we can have a deeper conversation in a couple days, right? Again, listen to the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, and He will guide you. I'm telling you, it's the greatest thing that we can do as believers, apart from worshiping Jesus and spending time with Him. It's worshiping Jesus, spending time with Him, and telling people that don't know about Jesus, about Jesus. Amen. I'm going to pray, and we're going to hit this song. We're going to hit it good, huh? All right, everybody stand up with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, in your plan, though it doesn't make sense to us, Lord, it doesn't make sense that you would grant us such a great responsibility as to further your kingdom here on earth. But Lord, you gave us the Holy Spirit. Lord, you gave us an example. Jesus, you are the greatest example of how we should conduct ourselves. So Lord, help us to take these 10 simple little things and begin to think about them and to begin to put them to play in our lives. Lord God, help us to see those opportunities every morning that we wake up. Lord God, help us to just say, God, what opportunities are you going to place before me today? Help me not to miss them. Help me to have the boldness to speak, and give me the words to speak. Lord, we could change, we could transform our community if we are simply obedient to you. Lord, we know it's your desire. We know from your word, we know it's your desire that none shall perish, that you came to seek and save that which was lost, to bring light to those who sit in darkness. Lord, there's no debate there. There's no confusion there. Lord God, the problem exists is when we remove ourselves from the equation. We are your boots on the ground. We are your ambassador. Help us to act as such. And Lord, help us to talk about my Jesus, to tell people about my Jesus. We praise you. We pray this in the one that we represent, the one that we get excited to talk about, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And everyone shouted out,
Amen.
Amen.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10 o'clock a.m. at Bridge Assembly located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information about Bridge Assembly, go to bridgehelena.com, and we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Jason Metz.